Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, all of Redemption Church. I love you guys as a kingdom family. It's been about 15 months. I came last year in the fall, and it's just been an honor to tribe and travel with you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share this word with you this morning. I look forward to what the Lord will do through this word in each one of us. And I just really agree with the prayer that Barry was praying, that we would each hear from the Lord, that he would speak with us today. As I was praying about this, this Sunday sermon, it is the last Sunday of 2020, and it the beginning of a new year is upon us. And sometimes time can be like a threshold where we exit one year and we enter a new one, and we can't go backwards. You can't rewind time and hop back. And sometimes we can freeze in a moment, keep that forever with us, but time can be like a threshold moment. And I was thinking about that, and it made me think of gates and doors, and it's been a theme in my quiet time for the last couple of years. So I figured it would be appropriate to dig into it a little more and see what the Lord has for us today. So I'm going to dive right in. And this message is about gates and doors in scripture, and specifically about stewarding a gate of heaven, which is the honor and the privilege and the responsibility of every believer in Jesus and every church. And we will see that in this message. So, here we go. What is a door? A door or a gate is a movable barrier at the entrance or opening of a room, house, any building, church, temple, and even cities originally had gates and doors. So, I want you to think about, especially those words, entrance and opening. There's, if you think of, just imagine the old school idea of a gate, there's a wall. If you've been to the old city, Jerusalem, there's a wall and there's gates. Gates are the entrance point, access point. That's where things can exit and come out, and things can go in. Think about doors. What is it like to be on your porch on the outside and then to enter your own house and to be inside your own house? I encourage you today and this week, as you're walking through your house, pay attention to what it's like to go through a doorway. You can be in one room, like the kitchen. And that room has a certain feel because you do kitchen things in it and there's kitchen items. And then you go through a doorway, you exit the kitchen and you enter a dining room or a living room or a hallway. You can be in a hallway, cross through a door and be in a bedroom. And each room has a different experience. And when you think about the door of your house, the door of your church, the door of the gates of a city, those are very, very strategic, important places. What do we do at doors? We open them. We close them. We judge and discern. We speak and communicate at that place. We judge and we discern. We permit entrance. We deny entrance. And as we'll see, the gate and the door is a place where we administer justice and blessing. So gates and doors in scripture are places of authority. If you ever pay attention to certain times as you're reading through the word, there's a lot of talk about the elders in the gates, the judges are in the gates or the doors. Even in Ruth chapter 4, when Boaz wants to pursue this idea of kinsman redeemer for Ruth and Naomi, he goes to the city gates. And that's where he speaks. It's a place of authority. It's a place of access. It's a place of communication and communion. It's a place of justice, giving and receiving, sending, receiving, coming and going, and transition. We move from one place to another. There's different experiences as we go from one place through a door to another place. It actually is symbolic, a little bit of development and maturity. You can think about this, for example, if you are a mommy and a daddy with a kid, and imagine as you're raising your child, if you're a child in a kitchen, you do certain things with your mommy and your daddy when you're there, but you can't play with the knives yet, and you can't cook on the boiling stove, you know, pot yet. You'll do that eventually when you grow older. So even when you're in a room, there's a maturing, and that can happen. You can have one experience that that is different when you grow up in that room. So that's just something to think about as we, because you might think about threshold points in your life where, man, when I turned 25, that was a really pivotal moment. I was a full adult. This happened. You can think about, you might have certain times in your life that were like threshold moments. For me, when I moved up to Canada, actually, I had just finished 15 years in Bellingham, Washington as my residence and place of ministry, and to literally exit that city was exiting a season that was majorly significant in my life. And crossing the border was like crossing a threshold, and being at Regent and in this season, for me, it was like, it wasn't the ending of a chapter and the beginning of another chapter. It was like closing a book and beginning a whole new book. It was like, here's this, welcome to the second half of your life. That's what it felt like for me. So there's very important moments in time that are like gates and doors as well. Okay. So I want to talk about what happens at doors in scripture. One of the important things is that wisdom speaks with us in the gates. Proverbs 1 talks about this, also Proverbs 8. I'm going to read the one from Proverbs 8, chapter 8, 1 through 3. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the high points along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city. At the entrance, she cries out aloud. Wisdom speaks to us in the gates. The word of God in Nehemiah is read aloud at the gates. In Deuteronomy 6, the Lord says of the commandments, write them on your doorposts, write them on your gates. The people of Israel developed a thing where they would take that literally and write the word of God on a little scroll, put it in a little thing, put it on their doorways. And if you ever visit Israel, you'll see on many doorways, the word of God is right there. And a lot of times they'll kiss it when they walk through. That's just a Jewish culture thing. But it's one way that they wanted to obey putting the commandments on the doors. In the prophets sometimes speak in the gates. The word of God goes forth there. The counterfeit word, folly, speaks with us in the gates in Proverbs 9. Something else that's very important in scripture is the Lord appears and visits us at the gates. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. There's a couple of places in Numbers and Deuteronomy where the Lord shows up like a pillar of cloud, and he stands in the gate of the temple, and that's where he speaks to them. All throughout Numbers in many places, the congregation assembles at the gate. Justice, as I mentioned, the judges sit in the gates, and justice is administered at the gates. Sin crouches at the door. If you remember the story of Cain, and Abel offered a worthy sacrifice, and Cain did not, and he was angry. And the Lord came and spoke with him. And he said to him, the Lord said to Cain, Genesis 4, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do what is wrong, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule it, master it. The enemy will attack the gates because they're very strategic. They're very important. If you control the gate, you control the city. But when you think about even just that story, it's not just that sin was crouching at the gate. It's that the Lord was speaking to Cain in his gate. The Lord was saying, you're angry. Sin is crouching at your door. The Lord and wisdom, God's wisdom, is speaking to us in the gate. He is not silent. The sacrifice is actually killed at the door of the tent, the tabernacle. God wants, in his commands of how the sacrifice was dealt with, it's killed, cleansed, and eaten at the door. Divine salvation and deliverance often, and a number of times in scripture, happens at doors. One of the most memorable ones is the story of Exodus. When the Lord says in the 10th plague, the angel of death will go through the land and the firstborn of every household will die. But he asks and commands his people Israel to take a lamb, a perfect spotless lamb, and they sacrifice that lamb and they take the blood of the lamb and they put it over the door. And when the angel of death goes through in that 10th plague, when it sees the blood on the door, it'll pass over. And that is a picture of a foreshadowing of Christ, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross and shed his blood so that the final word of sin and death would have to pass over. Possessing the gates is one of the promises to Abraham and for the covenant of Abraham, the promises of Abraham, and we are the spiritual offspring of Abraham. One of the promises is to possess the gates of your enemy. And it's important when I think about this, I want to make sure the Lord God possesses my gates, that I haven't lost one of my gates to the enemy. I want to make sure my gates are, that I have taken authority in my gates. I have possession of those gates. And then also it's the promise of Abraham, the blessing to possess the gates of the enemy as well. Who has gates and doors? People do. This is coming from scripture. People have gates and doors, rooms, homes, workplace, also cities. God and angels, specifically heaven, has gates. There's a ton of verses about this in scripture. Heaven has gates. God has a door. And the devil, he does not have a door. He steals yours. He is a thief and a robber and a liar, and he wants to steal our gates and our doors. Hell has a gate, but it will not prevail against the gates of heaven and the church. People have gates. I will be moving this over. People have gates. Think about this on a personal level. Every person has personal gates and doors, which function like an entry point for your inner self, the five senses. Many of our five senses are actual physical openings in our body. Our ears, our eyes, our mouth. The senses are like gates. It's a way of access to our inner person, our soul, our heart, our will, our emotions, our mind, our spirit. Eye gates, ear gates, mouth, hands, even your sexuality. Gates are very important on your personal body. What we see with our eyes, what images we allow to come in, what we hear with our ears, what we speak with our mouth. Even with our hands, we can open our hands to the poor and the needy, or we can receive and accept a bribe. These are likened unto gates, and they need to be guarded as well. I want to think about heaven's, the gates of heaven again. Just read a few of these. a very special passage to me in this season is Jacob's ladder dream. It comes from Genesis 28. Jacob is one of the patriarchs. He's the grandson of Abraham. And on a journey, he comes to a place because it's night, the sun has set, and it's time to sleep. And I'm just going to read that from Genesis 28, starting at verse 11. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. He took one of the stones and put it under his head and laid down. He had a dream where he saw a stairway resting on the earth with the top reaching into heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. He said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west and the east and the north and the south. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised. When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. Heaven has gates, Revelation 4:1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. The first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Psalm 78:23 and 24, yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down on them manna to eat and gave them grain from heaven. Man ate the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. When we think about this story with Jacob and this picture that God gives him in a dream of a ladder, an opening, and a connection point between heaven and earth. I actually want to think about how this, it doesn't mean Jacob is, wow, he must have just been really lucky or special. No, he's family. It's a part of the story of God in the biblical narrative from beginning to the end. And a lot of times we don't think about it a whole lot, but this is a time to think about it. Sometimes, bringing in the spiritual dimension of the heavenly realm, sometimes we think that heaven and earth are two completely separate realms that never intersect. However, in the Bible, there are a number of places of overlap, and the story ultimately is going in the direction of a full overlap. That is, when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying for the kingdom of heaven to overlap and intersect and to come and make this domain your domain, God. In the Bible, in the biblical story, right in the beginning, the Garden of Eden was an overlapping space where heaven and earth was joined. Before the fall, the Lord walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And when the fall happened, separating takes place due to sin and death entering in. And they were driven from the garden, and God put a cherubim, an angel, at the gate of Eden and guarded it. That is evidence that this was not just an earthly realm place. This was a place of overlap. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle and the temple were places of overlap. It was a place where heaven and earth would intersect, and the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, was symbolic of God's throne on earth. Worshiping through the sacrifices, that sacrifice and the blood of those sacrificial lambs and goats, they mediated that overlapping space, because sin creates the separation, the sacrifice and the shedding of blood on behalf of sin recreates a clean space for God and us to come together and have communion again. So that temple and tabernacle is a strategic, very important place. The place is where we gather with the Lord and worship. It's a place where we truly are saying, God, we want to meet with you. Come and meet with us. And that's what he's doing. In the New Testament, it says the word became flesh and tabernacled among us, made his dwelling among us. The word actually is tabernacled. And Jesus in the New Testament, in John 2, when he was speaking about the temple, they realized later he was speaking about his body. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, was the first human to be able to say that he was a tabernacle and a temple. He was the presence of God tabernacling among us. He was bringing heaven to earth in human form. Christians, when we are born again in the Spirit, born again and baptized, and we're made alive in Christ, and he takes up residence in us, Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming and living in us, we are called in 1 Corinthians 6:19, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We as a church become a spiritual house, and God makes us a kingdom. So one way to think about that is we're like an embassy for the kingdom of heaven on earth. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven on earth. We are a place of overlap. In the end of the story, where the biblical narrative goes is heaven on earth will become one place again under the reign and rule of Christ. In Ephesians 1:10, it says that everything in all of heaven and all of earth will be summed up under the lordship of Jesus. And there's a number of verses in scripture that talk about what the renewed earth will look like under the full reign of Christ. The lion will lie down with the lamb. A child will be able to play next to the den of a cobra. It will be completely renewed. Remember that temples, places of worship, and are those key places of gates in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, we are God's, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what I want us to think about today is that stewarding our relationship with God is stewarding a connection between heaven and earth. Us as a church, when we gather together, we are stewarding. Just like Jacob in that moment, we could say, oh my goodness, this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Yes. We might think we're not allowed to, or maybe that's for someone really holy. No, it's just, that's just in the story. That's what the Bible guides us in into truth. So remember, what do we do with doors? We open them, we close them, we guard them. We judge and we need discernment. What to let in, what to deny entrance. Administering blessing and justice. So let's think about this. We need to open our doors to heaven. Open our doors to heaven and let God through. Let heaven in and through us as a gate, individually, corporately. One great way to do this is praying prayers of scripture. Psalm 24, lift up your head, O gates, lift it up, O doors, that the King of glory may come. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors. Let the King of glory come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Also, the Lord's Prayer. We're saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then what does it look like for his kingdom to come? Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom. This is a way of just praying, Lord, we want your reign on the earth. It's a simple way of stewarding that we steward as Christians filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a connection between heaven and earth. It's our responsibility to steward that. Think of ourselves as a gate for the kingdom of heaven, an embassy. You could pray through Genesis 28. I often pray John 1, 50 through 51, where Jesus prophesies to Nathanael, you will see greater things than this. You will see heaven open and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus prophesied that to Nathanael. He was taking that dream that God gave to Jacob, and he was saying, you will see this. You will see heaven open and angels ascending and descending. You will see Jesus Christ himself become that gate, that door, that ladder. There's a lot of verses in scripture that talk about God opening a door for the gospel. That's a really good thing to pray. Lord, open a door for the gospel in our city through Alpha. Close the door to hell. We need to be good doorkeepers. Do you know, I didn't know this, but there's a verse in the Chronicles. It says 1/3 of the priests and Levites were doorkeepers. That was their job. 1/3 of them had the job of being doorkeepers. Remember that beautiful verse in Psalms, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wicked. Guarding your gates and your doors by prayer and by the word. You can simply do this by thinking about, if you're thinking about your personal gates, like eyes and ears and mouth, yielding your members, Romans 6, we could just pray, Lord, I yield my members to you. I give you my eyes. Today, Lord, I give you my tongue, my mouth. I give you my ears. Lord, these are not mine. These are yours. I want to see what you see, hear what you hear, say what you say. Please. And we can be like David. Keep watch. Set a guard, O Lord, over the door of my lips. Job 31:1, he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I will not look on a woman to lust. He'd made a covenant with his eyes. He's guarding his eyes. You can do that on a personal level. You can also pray over the doors of your house, including television and computer screens. Those are gates. So just praying over our gates. Lord, we ask for wisdom in our gates, praying Proverbs or James 1. We can pray the blood of Jesus just with that picture of the Passover blood. Lord, I want your protection and your cleansing at my gates. When you pray over different gates and doors, it's good to ask Holy Spirit for wisdom in the gates. Ask him, which one is vulnerable? Do we need to pay more attention to one or the other? The Lord is wisdom speaking in the gate. He will help you discern if there is sin crouching at your door. This was a very unique Christmas week for me. I've been away at Christmas before, but I'm usually on a mission trip where I'm surrounded by a YWAM team or this posse of people. This was kind of an odd one, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. But I definitely had to grieve not being with my family. I was very sad and I cried several days in a row. And I think it was because I had never actually felt alone at Christmas before. It's very strange. But after a number of days of grieving and lament, and that's a healthy thing to do in dealing with your emotions, I woke up, and sometimes right at the opening of the day, when I first wake up, sometimes the Lord will speak right there really quick. And it happened. I woke up, and then right quick, there were two things that came into my spirit. One was, beware of self-pity. Resist it. The other one was a flash of hope. The hope of God spiritually touched my spirit. And I knew wisdom was speaking in my gate. Self-pity is going to crouch at my door. Do not give in to it. Remember hope. Wisdom will speak in the gate. Discern what sin crouches at your door. Opening our doors to one another. When we talk about being a doorkeeper and guarding our gates, we need to be careful to remember that while we're trying to keep hell out, we don't want to keep one another out. We just need to remember opening our gates to our neighbor, our brothers, our strangers. How we receive one another is how we receive Christ. How we receive one another at our gates is how we receive Christ. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Whoever welcomes one of the least of these little children in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but the one who sent me. Think about the Good Samaritan story, where a man was beaten, left for dead in the ditch, hanging on to life, needing help. And a priest passes by on the same path, sees him, but turns and crosses over to the other side of the road and keeps on going. And then a Levite comes and sees him, crosses over on the other side and keeps going. They were probably trying to keep defilement out, guarding their gate. But instead, they didn't let heaven in and through them. They didn't steward their gate, seeing with love, feeling compassion, opening their hands to the poor and the needy. Jesus would eat with and welcome tax collectors and sinners, not to let hell in. Let the people in. Let the broken in. Let heaven out through his gate to them. We need to remember to receive one another. Jesus says, I am the door. In John 10, I am the door. Jesus is the ultimate door. When we want to come to God, we come to God through Jesus Christ. He is the door. The gospel is like a door. When we believe on Jesus Christ and receive what he has done on our behalf, we cross through a cosmic threshold of dying to our old self and being raised up in a new self that is communing with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that is welcomed in the family of God. What is Jesus like with his eyes and ears and mouth? Jesus, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. They're never closed. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He watches over you night and day. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. The Lord hears when I call to him. Grace pours forth from his mouth. From his mouth comes wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, you open your hands and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. God is very good with his gates. He's not just holding himself to keeping it to himself. He's not just self-protecting. He's letting all of his love out through his eyes, out through his ears, out through his mouth, out through his hands. He's being a gate of heaven, bringing heaven to us in his person. Wisdom speaks in the gates. What word of wisdom is the Lord speaking to you in the gate today? As we gather, as at the house of the Lord, we are a gate and a door. We're an overlapping place. The Lord is in our midst. We need to be ready to be a gate of heaven and to steward our gate, to let the kingdom come through us. We need to steward our gate for love and justice and blessing to others. And as we leave 2020 and enter 2021, are you ready? Do you have any business to do with 2020 before you cross the threshold into 2021? A lot has happened in this year. We have things to grieve, expectations that maybe we're disappointed about. We have things to be grateful for, praises and thanksgiving to lift up. We might need to do business with God and with one another. But as you go into 2021, I want to encourage you that I think what is on the heart of the Lord is he wants more of us to realize that we are just as an image bearer, just like Jesus is a gate and a door. We are a gate and a door because we're family. We're God's family. We're his kingdom on earth. And the kingdom of heaven wants to come through us to others. The Lord bless you with this word today.